Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid, a.k.a. Bimbo Jimbo. With me, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Changing up the nicknames.
I got to consolidate everyone. So the Bimbo Jimbo thing, yeah, is sort of my radio personality brand. So I have to, I'm bringing it over to all facets. That's what I started doing and realizing at Comic-Con this week. Have to sort of, you know, put them all in one roof. So Bimbo Jimbo here.
Everybody's been talking to the same guy this whole time.
It's mind-blowing. It's like Usual Suspects. So welcome back to the Lucha Lowdown. We just wrapped Comic-Con week down here in San Diego. I'm live once again from Jeff Budd's temple here.
Mikasa.
It is sort of a Modelo Ice House as well, as he is sipping on the official beer of Lucha Underground as we speak. A questionable time of day.
It's late enough in the day.
It's 7:30.
I had breakfast.
You did. But yeah, so Comic-Con week was a lot of fun. We did do some Lucha activities. All the interviews that we did at Comic-Con are up for your listening pleasure. Talked to Taya, we talked to Chavo Guerrero Jr., we talked to PJ Black, and we talked to Marty the Moth Martinez. So all four of those are up and ready for you to listen to and download if you haven't done so already. It was a lot of fun catching up with all of them. And learned some good stuff from them. And also they had free food at the area, so that is always a plus. So that was much needed in a busy and exhausting Comic-Con week. But we got to talk about the latest episode of Lucha Underground, Break the Machine. Overall, what'd you think of the episode?
Overall, I liked it. I think it's because the matchups, it was a bunch of people that I'm a fan of.
Yeah, definitely. And we got four matches and a debut tonight. And that was right off the top, the debut. Desmond X taking on Paul London. And you and I had been talking throughout the week sort of about how sort of bizarre the last time we saw the Rabbit Tribe was, and did they really kill Masquerita? Was that just in their mind kind of deal?
Didn't sit well with us.
Yeah, it didn't. Well, because we like Masquerita, and we like the Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah, I love the White Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah, we like the Rabbit Tribe. And so it was just sort of weird to see them go so dark. And then continuing on with that, when Paul London came out, commentary was putting over that it was a different attitude. Paul London was all dressed in black, which was unusual. And we didn't get any answers in terms of what was actually going on there, you know, which is when I saw him, I was like, oh, cool, we're going to get a follow-up to that. Not to be, but we did get the debut of Desmond X, who, you know, I looked him up. I was not super familiar with his work. Okay. I think he's been in Impact and stuff like that, but I wasn't really watching him when he was there. But I was very impressed with him. I thought he showed a very cool arsenal of moves that he can do. Was very smooth in the ring with Paul London. What did you think of the match and Desmond's debut?
Yeah, I thought he was amazing. And the whole time, I was thinking that he didn't stand a shot just because it was the return of the Rabbit Tribe. And we just had gotten that Rabbit Tribe vignette. And I figured, you know, as far as the sacrifice and their new benefactor,
they'd be almost supercharged.
Exactly. You would feel that there would be some sort of benefit to all of this. So I thought, you know, it was going to be not a cakewalk for Paul London, but I thought it was pretty definitive that he was going to win the match. And yeah, the entire time I was like, wow, you know, the new guy's great. You know, it's like, yeah, this is a legit match. And the audience was already pretty split too.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a wrestler debuting in Lucha Underground, which usually doesn't bode well for the debuting
exactly.
wrestler.
Exactly, and I thought about that too, and it's now the trend is shifting. This
yeah, they're
anyway.
Keeping us on our toes. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I'd say about Desmond X, I think he could punch up his presentation a little bit in terms of his ring attire and just how he, you know, I think he'd be a little bit more charismatic physically and with how he presents himself.
Yeah, I think he's got a good look, but yeah, there's no character to who yeah. he is. And I mean, he's only been in the match, you know, it's not like yeah. they even gave him a chance to talk or anything like that. So we'll see going forward. But yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, it can be pretty forgettable. I wasn't sure if he was just some temple jobber.
Yeah.
So that Paul London could do some weird rabbit sacrifice to him. A lot of sacrifices now. The gods are thirsty.
Yeah, they're bloodthirsty. And he can really go in the ring. So he actually, this was for the final Aztec medallion to get into the Gift of the Gods match, which Desmond X won. He won the Rabbit Tribe medallion.
Just salt in the wound, I feel.
Yeah, Paul London not stoked. I did like at the very start of this match just the Rabbit Tribe running in doing the confusion stuff. They're still doing that at least.
They
know?
Have to. Well, that's the rabbit fighting style. We talked about
yes.
this. If this was a video game, that would be part of the special move that Paul London can pull.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rabbit Swarm.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Desmond X with a big unexpected victory. I thought it was a fun match. He really showcased what he could do in the ring. Immediately after that, when we got back from commercial break, Antonio Cueto came out there. It was putting over the fact that, you know, that was the final medallion, and that next week's Gift of the Gods match is going to be epical, and, you know, that they're all main event level talents. And he had them all come down and put the medallions into the Gift of the Gods title belt, which I always love. I still believe that's the coolest championship belt in wrestling. But when a couple things with that, when King Cuerno came down to put his medallion into the title, Matt Stryker on commentary said that's the tribe that King Cuerno represents, which, Jeff, you and I for the last at least year have sort of speculated that it's the Bull Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Stryker on commentary says the Deer Tribe. The Deer Tribe, which I did not expect or see coming. I don't know if he misspoke and meant Steer Tribe. But,
I hope to God that's what it is.
But I've gone online. I've seen other people from like a couple years ago call it the Deer Tribe. But I just don't know where that comes from. I mean, I'm to be fair, I haven't gotten like the best look at the medallion because it's always so quick. But it always looked like sort of like that very like iconic bull skull,
yeah.
You know, from the desert and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always thought it was. And then I just feel like. Then that would be the tribe that Tejano's from. And like we said, it's probably where the Cuetos are from.
The Battle of the Bulls.
Yeah, Battle of the Bulls. I just feel a lot of things already lend itself to that. And then you brought up right before we did the show that King Cuerno does have the deer headdress that he used to come out with in just season one.
I think just season one.
Yeah, just season one. And that was cool, but I just assumed that was
a kill.
It was a kill that
it's
he was
trophy.
Very proud of,
yeah.
Which I get.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not happy about it, but what can you do?
Just doesn't sound very intimidating.
It also just doesn't sound as, like, I don't know, as Aztec-y to me.
Yeah. Oh, like the Buck Tribe.
Yeah.
It's just not, to me, my lament is it's not very intimidating, and it's King Cuerno's tribe, so I just, like, it's, I don't know.
They have to, I mean... I like that we're getting little pieces of it and all, but I don't know. I need some sort of companion piece, or I need a real breakdown of all the different tribes,
and what
history,
they're about.
And then, what do they represent? What are their beliefs? And then who represents each tribe? Where is everybody's lineage linked to?
And the importance maybe of each with the avatar in Aztec culture and stuff like that would be
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. That would help as well. And then if they could talk about like past greats or something like that.
I would buy that. That would be cool. That would be a cool poster to have on the wall. But
where are you going to put it?
Well, my non-existent non-existent man cave at my current house. But yeah, so he brought them all out. So that was one thing, is that we got the Deer Tribe sort of out of nowhere. But the other thing is, that, like we were talking about in the last episode, when Antonio Cueto went with Mexico, he was having some fun with their names again, especially Mil Muertes, which he almost like started hacking up a lung midway through, like saying Muertes. So, yeah, I don't know if that's just Antonio Cueto's shtick, but he brought
Papa
him.
Cueto.
Yeah, Pop. Oh, yeah, and that was funny, the believers getting behind Antonio by chanting Papa Cueto. I liked that.
It almost sounds like some sort of Aztec Baba Yaga.
Papa Cueto.
Yeah, Papa Cueto. If kids don't do their chores, Papa Cueto will get them.
There's a Mexican restaurant in where I'm from in Monterey called Papa Shavo's. So it's that's what it reminded me of.
There you go.
Very good food there. So he brought them all out there. They're all in the ring doing the lineup and everything like that for the Gift of the Gods match. And Antonio Cueto hops back on the mic and says, you know, 7 to a lot of people is a very lucky number, but to me, I always found it unlucky. So he says that he's going to eliminate one of those competitors in the Gift of the Gods match and bring it down to 6, which you shake your head right now. I did too. That's gonna infuriate the gods. They're all representing the gods.
Yeah, I don't think that's allowed.
Because
I don't look at it as like
rules.
A regular match being booked. I look at it as... this is a continuation of, you know, rituals and stuff that they've been doing long before there was, like, professional wrestling. It was 7 tribes would come together. and wait for the gods to bestow a gift down upon whoever wins.
It's like the tithe in the X-Men the Animated Series.
Exactly, and I think Quato's tithe will be false.
Yeah, he's breaking with ceremony and tradition and everything like that. I do hope there's punishment.
At the same time that he's gifting his son to the gods, he's also been spitting in the gods' face.
What are you doing? Well, that's interesting. Maybe he'll add Matanza back to the match or something like that.
Oh, drat. Yeah, he might do that.
That's an interesting point.
The gods need seven.
Antonio decides to have a over-the-top rope battle royal impromptu, and the winner gets to choose which competitor is not going to be in next week's Gift of the Gods match. King Cuerno is first eliminated, which sweet little deer tribe.
Yeah.
You're a sweet boy, King Cuerno. And then Ivelisse and Mil Muertes was eliminating people quick. I mean, this was a quick battle royal. I mean, it's only seven competitors.
Seven people, yeah.
So, but it looked like Muertes was poised to win, but then Mac and Son of Havoc tipped him over the top rope.
This is the problem when you have the trios champions win two of the medallions.
Yeah, they're going to work
and
together.
And it's two that get along.
It's two that get along. They're going to work together. And then they were sort of looking like they were going to lock horns to determine who was going to be the winner. But then Son of Havoc said, you know what, on me. And he did his flip out of the ring.
Which, I mean, I get it's like, hey, you pinned Killshot instead of pinning me.
Yeah.
So let me do you a solid. Hopefully you won't eliminate me.
Yeah, he kind of owed him one.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't know. I sort of bought that maybe Mac would eliminate Son of Havoc from the match, but.
Because. When the Mac then gives a brief speech before he gives the name, and he said that he wasn't afraid of anybody, I thought he said, I'm not a friend of anybody.
And oh, okay.
I misheard him. And so then I thought he was eliminating Son of Havoc.
Yeah, I thought...
Just to complicate the Trios Championship team a little bit more.
Well, and what was your thought process when this Battle Royal was announced? Because you sort of sussed it out immediately, like, as far as if somebody doesn't win, they're gone.
Not only has he been an intimidating presence in season one, but then he single-handedly eliminated, like, what, three of the competitors in this match.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, Mil Muertes, you gots to go.
And that's sort of what the Max conclusion came to. He said, you know, he's not scared of any man, but Mil Muertes scares the S out of him. And so, Mil, you're gone, which incensed Mil and Katrina. And Mil then kicked all of their asses except Mac.
Except for the Max.
Yeah, who got away. But
yeah, Mac left. Everybody else decided to stand their ground. That was a big mistake.
Yes, incredibly big mistake. Possibly setting up a feud, though, with Mac, though, which I'd be into.
I think that would be
good. Because, being honest, I don't think Mac's going to win this match.
You know, we've said this before about the Mac.
That's true. That's true. He does defy expectations.
I would just say because he's Trios champion, I would also think that... that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think Son of Havoc wins them. Because I think probably Killshot gets involved somehow.
I think Killshot's going to screw things up for those two. Or Killshot will screw things up for Son of Havoc, who he has a problem with, and then maybe Mil Muertes will come and screw things up for the Mac.
Oh, good point, good point.
Or maybe the Mac will just lose naturally, and Mil Muertes will then just show up and attack him while he's down.
I think I think Dragon Azteca Jr., and I think Ivelisse actually has.
What about King Cuerno?
I love King Cuerno, and that's actually kind of who I'm rooting for. But
now that it's the Deer Tribe.
Now I don't know. No, it's just because he's had it before.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so I feel like it could be Dragon. Although Cuerno has sort of factored bigger into the season.
That's
so
what I was
far.
Thinking. I was like, he's been in a lot of vignettes, and he's very much a part of the story. He's ingrained in it. Also, if Matanza does get pushed into this match because they decide that
Matanza will win.
Yeah, Matanza will win.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I don't know. Maybe win the championship too.
I just don't see, like, Cuerno's storyline, though, doesn't seem to putting him on a collision course with Pentagon, though.
Yeah, fair enough. That's true.
Azteca sort of has unfinished business with Pentagon, so that's something I could see. And Ivelisse is just, like, it would be a cool redemption story for her.
Yeah, I don't see it being Ivelisse.
Maybe Crane screws her
title before. That would be kind of cool. I don't know if I want her to continue to be bogged down with Crane, though. I almost want her to be able to just move on to other things. And same with Crane. Crane's got other stuff.
Haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's at right now.
Although, I mean, it's not like much has happened this season, so.
Yeah, it's still building.
It's still pretty early, and certain storylines have kind of had to take precedent, so.
I don't see Desmond X winning it.
No. We've seen...
That'd be quite a debut.
We've seen unknowns come into the Gift of the Gods before and then just sort of get pushed aside.
Nightclaw, where are you?
He just is giving a medallion.
Yeah, and then just gone.
His.
Yeah.
Just well, gone. That already puts him a step above, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have Gift of the Gods match next week. That will be interesting. But again, don't piss off the gods, Antonio. What are you doing?
Yeah, I feel that he's playing with fire, and this is going to end up badly for him.
I hope they acknowledge that, though. You know?
Yeah, they should. Well, because it just seems so strange. Because, like I said, I feel like all they did was modernize a ritual that was already taking place and then sort of repackage it. But it still has to be basically the same.
And I love, like, in earlier seasons, just talking about, like, sort of, like, the powers the medallions have and stuff like that. Still very,
I know,
mythical.
I miss that. That's why I feel it would be great if each medallion, and we talked about this, I think, a couple episodes ago, if each medallion had a little more importance lent to them. If they did, like, those... tribal tournaments, or if there was just a little more to it. And I think they've done it in the past, but not much, where somebody's a holder of a medallion and then somebody kind of challenges them for the medallion before
the gift
of gods has happened. Well, because they used to stretch it out longer too.
Yeah,
this one I feel like they really wanted to have a Gift of the Gods champion, so things kind of got rushed a little bit. I mean, they handed out, like, what, 4 medallions in one night. So.
They did, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, we will see what happens in that match. But we got another match. This, to me, was the match of the night. It was Vibra of the Reptile Tribe, formerly the Snake Tribe, which I still prefer. Vibra of the Reptile Tribe taking on Johnny Mundo of the Gringo Tribe. of the Worldwide Underground.
It's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, this feud's been building since the start of the season, and I don't know, man, like, Vibra has vaulted to an early lead in terms of, like, you know, in the NBA they have most improved player.
Yeah.
Vibra is most improved luchador. I didn't know he could do all the things that he can do in that ring, and he's amazing.
Yeah, we were blown away the last time he did something like that, which was, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it continues, holds his own against Johnny Mundo in a match.
Yeah.
Who's one of just like the most fun opponent, or one of the most fun athletes to watch in the temple, and always has been.
Yeah. And they paired really well with one another. The cool thing Vibra had going for him, which I think, you know, in pro wrestling, obviously, like, if you have size, you know, you're going to have, like, a leg up. So he's, like, a big, like, nearly 7 foot tall guy, you know, and it looks even bigger in the temple because there are a lot of smaller competitors and stuff like that.
Right.
But I wasn't sure how much he could actually do when he debuted.
Which happens when you get guys who are close to 7 foot tall. It's really just more the size, and that's it.
Yeah, you
and
don't
you
know.
Kind of build around that.
Yeah, exactly. They don't always have the most athleticism, but I think I don't know if he could always do that, or if he's just been, you know, training his tail off in between seasons. But he's doing standing moonsaults. He's doing these crazy roll throughs where he catches Johnny Mundo, and like, it's wild what he can do in the ring.
Yeah, I don't want to undersell what he had done in the past, but I don't remember him ever showcasing that kind of skill before. And we have seen him fight. It's not like he's always just popped up to ambush or to support the Reptile Tribe. I mean, we've kind of seen him in action a little more consistently now than we have in a long time, but yeah, I don't know.
He seemed more lumbering in the past. I don't know, maybe that was trying to sell, like, his size or something like that.
Maybe it also has to do with the opponents and everything, too. You can't have him necessarily match skills when it's, like, someone like a Phoenix or an Aerostar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
Because then it's like, well, okay, well, what do Phoenix and Aerostar bring to the table if he's moving like they are?
Yeah.
Because they certainly don't have the size on him. Where, like, Mundo, even though Mundo's still much smaller, Mundo also has a lot more muscle on him.
Yeah.
So, and the underhanded tactics.
Dude,
I can't wrap my mind around this feud.
Exactly. We were talking while we were watching it. It's like, we've been trying to sort of pigeonhole which one's going to be the face and which one's going to be the heel. And, like, is Johnny Mundo going face right now? They're not. Neither one of them are budging in any direction in terms of how they are carrying themselves.
You will not cheer for us.
Yeah,
we
which
will not,
like,
allow it.
On, like, a certain level, I almost respect, because, like, you know, like, two bad guys, they run afoul of one another, and it's like, yeah, no, we're still going to be us. Johnny Mundo in this match did the coolest low blow that, like, I've ever seen. It was like a backflipping low blow, like, to Vibra. It was great.
Which people should take a page out of that book, because I sort of hate the low blow because there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, at least add some entertainment and athleticism to the low blow.
I mean, I get it, you know, but, like, it's too much of a nuke. exactly. in pro wrestling. Yeah. You know, like, I remember I was
too much of an equalizer as well.
Yeah, I was in and it's over. Look, it hurts. You know, we're two wild and crazy guys here. And it hurts. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But these are super athletes. These are superheroes in the ring. You know, it's just it's too much of a devastator. You know, it's not.
Yeah, this was my favorite low blow since Johnny Cage got Goro in the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Great knowledge. It's just
also
example.
An athletic low blow. You
yes.
got to bring something
yeah,
to the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spice
can't just
it up
drop
a
on your knees
bit.
And hit him from behind.
Well, I was in Seattle for WrestleMania 19, and Shawn Michaels defeated Chris Jericho in the match of the night. And, like, afterward, they do the embrace, like, the mutual respect thing. And then Jericho, like, low blows Sean. And Sean, like, slides all the way down to, like, Jericho's, like, waist and, like, looks at him, like, why? And, like, Jericho just shoves him down to that. Like, Sean could do nothing to him. Like, it's like, what is that? Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't incapacitate you.
Yeah. And, like, then we had, like, in WWE, like, last man's, it was Shinsuke and AJ Styles where they double low blowed each other to where both got counted. It down for 10.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Anyway, that's you know, just splitting hairs with some pro wrestling there, but that was a cool, like, they were doing cool stuff like Johnny's heel kicks and stuff like that. Yeah. And like but just was really impressed with Vibra, like when Ricky Mundo got involved and he did the moonsault to both of them. Just so far, Vibra has been a real standout in the season. Good for him. Like, I was thinking about it. Like, and the Believers started to get behind him, too. They're in a match with Johnny Mundo. They were chanting for him, which was big. And, you know, you can say this match was overbooked if you want. Like, there were a lot of run-ins and stuff like that and ref bumps. I thought this was a lot of fun.
I thought it also just sort of fit the flavor as far as what was going on. That is what the Worldwide Underground does. And it's kind of... I won't say it's exactly what the Reptile Tribe does, but at the same time, it's sort of what the Reptile Tribe had to do. And then when you belong to a group and the other group ambushes one of your people, we ask ourselves, well, where were the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, there's Drago, there's Daga. It's like, that makes sense.
I want to see more from Daga, vignette-wise.
I need to explain it a little bit more, because we thought he was dead. Now they call him the King of the Reptiles. And...
Yeah.
Weren't you just an old rival of Tejano's? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, remember, because Cobra Moon was, like, sort of courting him.
Yeah, and he was having none of it.
Yeah, and so we need...
You gotta explain what's
going on. Yeah, we need an explanation. I want more vignettes of him.
Some
I want to see
a reptile
him.
God go into his body.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a lizard person.
We'll eat that stuff up.
Yeah.
Just give it
absolutely.
To us.
Absolutely. I want to see
was
him.
Is it a Shadows of Innsmouth thing? He was a reptile person all along, and he just started shaping into
he's
one.
He's got the reptile look now. I want to see him in, like, a Serpentor outfit, like, backstage, you know, giving orders.
He had that awesome set.
Dude, that set is dope,
that.
Dude.
That was great.
Yeah, I want to see. I need more of that. I'm all ready to embrace him. I just need to know why.
We already know that lizard people run the world, so show us more. Shows more with the reptile tribe.
Oh God! You're not wrong. We're doing a conspiracy podcast next.
I'm trying to lure our friend Chris into listening to the show.
Yeah,
needs to hear things like that. He's like, yes, all right.
Yeah, you'd love.
Not a fan of wrestling, but I tune in for the lizard people talk.
Before we get into the main event, I do want to just tell all you believers how much we appreciate you listening. Once again, if you haven't heard our interviews from Comic-Con, please download those. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and Audio Boom. Rate and review us on iTunes as well. It's a big help to the podcast, along with word of mouth. That's the best way to get the word out about us here at Lucha Lowdown. We really appreciate all your support. Follow me on Twitter, at James Kincaid. Email us at luchalowdown@gmail.com. That was confusing. LuchaLowdown@gmail.com is the email if you wish to opine or if you have any suggestions, questions, comments, thoughts, feelings, emotions, Twitter or email. Please feel free to do so. Love interacting with y'all. And it's been a fun season 4 so far. I will tell you, the optimism for season 5 and beyond for Lucha Underground is high. So that's good. That was one of those things that, you know, like leaving there, I felt really good about that. People think that not only is season 4, like they're really proud of it, but they feel like that there's going to be more than that. So that makes me really happy.
Well, since it's returned, I don't know, it feels like, I don't know, better sponsored or...
Well, Modelo's a great sponsor. A beer sponsor is king.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, just because of all the products and stuff being placed and the commercials and everything, sort of like the old seasons of Ultimate Fighter versus, like, newer seasons.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, it definitely, you know, was more mainstream and had a lot of money and power behind it, which was great.
Like, I think there were some growing pains in the first maybe couple episodes of this one just because, you know, we're having to say goodbye to a lot of guys that we fell, you know, in
and
love
I think,
with
yeah,
watching.
That's because it was really rocky between the two seasons. So we're not starting anew, of course, but
we lost some friends.
We're starting a new chapter.
Yeah,
and yeah, that meant that we had to lose a few guys in the process,
and that
moved on to other things.
That sucks, and we're going to talk about one right now. So so Vibra defeated Johnny Mundo. Which sort of buried the lead on that. That's a huge victory for Vibra. I mean, Johnny Mundo, one of the greats in Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And everybody had gotten involved, and the Reptile Tribe ended up sort of standing tall at the very end, I want to say.
Yeah, this one was definitely a win for them.
But we go from there to our lone vignette of the program, which was Exolicious working out backstage and doing like a flash dance thing.
Yes.
And with Jack Evans watching on very creepily.
Yeah.
And, you know, very upset. He's like that Exolicious embarrassed him. And nobody.
He's plotting his revenge.
Yeah, and nobody embarrasses Jack Evans. But right next to him, we see that creepy little doll and Ricky Mundo. And you know what? Props to Ricky, because I had the same question. Where were you, Jack? We could have used you out there.
Yeah, everybody in the Worldwide Underground had come to support Johnny. And because it wasn't a full team effort.
They lost.
Yeah, they lost. And yeah, Ricky got hurt for it.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, yeah, hey, Jack, would have been nice to have you.
And
instead of you leering at your enemy and plotting your stupid revenge.
And he, Jack gave the explanation that sort of we had been kicking around too. He's like, look, I already told Johnny that I don't do snakes. And he said he's fine with me sitting this one out.
Did Johnny actually say that? Well, I mean.
He didn't say that, but that's how Jack took it. You know, miscommunications can't
Jack
happen.
Jack had his doctor's note from his therapist that he doesn't do snakes, and what do you want from him?
But I appreciate the fact that they at least reference, like, I mean, it's so weird to me that he's, because I was worried that he was just not going to be in the show anymore this season, you know, but it's like.
No, they'll explain it at least.
It's so weird to me, though, because he's still there, and he's just not helping out.
It is bizarre. Although, I mean, there have been times with the Worldwide Underground where I feel like that happened one time, like, with PJ Black, and it was never explained. Like, PJ just wasn't there all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, PJ got hurt, I think.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, so, like, his presence just wasn't there. But, I mean, they don't explain it in story either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, at that time, like, and if you don't know anything about PJ Black, it's just like, how come he's not helping out?
Yeah.
It's just Jack and Taya.
Yeah. I get you.
So, at least with this, we got an explanation. It's like, hey, he's scared of snakes. Even though he is the Dragon Slayer and could at least, I don't know, suck
fight Drago.
Drago.
Yeah.
You defeated Drago. That's how you got the name. You weren't a Dragon Slayer coming into the temple.
He was never a Dragon Slayer.
And that's how you became friends with PJ.
He's never a Dragon Slayer anyway.
Nunchuck match.
Yep.
You got more of those.
But so Jack Evans leaves, and you know, after stepping to Ricky, called the doll ugly. Yeah, called the ugly little doll.
Yeah.
And
it's not wrong, but
that doll then just goes, I don't like him. And Ricky agrees.
Like,
yeah, I don't like you either. But Ricky,
well,
then
Jack will be careful.
The doll, he'll be dead, which exactly what the doll, well, not exactly.
Well, yeah, we don't know exactly.
But the doll says, why don't you do to Ricky what you did to Angelico? So I think Ricky just killed Angelico.
And Ricky was like, oh, I don't know, Johnny would be mad.
Yeah, Johnny wouldn't like that. And the doll's now trying to put a wedge between Johnny and Ricky.
Yeah, well, is Johnny in charge of your life, or is Ricky in charge of your life?
Am I in charge of your life?
That's the problem, is I think the doll's in charge. But I will say, if you just take everything the doll said at surface value, it's actually kind of a good thing that this doll's in Ricky's life. Because Jack was very disrespectful and mean to Ricky, and Ricky shouldn't just be taking his orders and getting pushed around by Johnny. He should be more assertive.
Don't
and the
bring
doll's
your psycho babble into this show.
The doll is helping him. Maybe this will be like the original script of Child's Play, where it turns out that the child was the killer, and so the doll is just a part of Ricky's.
I never knew that.
Yeah, the doll is a part of Ricky's fractured psyche.
Oh, I like
and,
that.
And is helping him, you know, kind of overcome his deficits, and he's becoming more assertive and strong.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're doing, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. In the world of magic, though, it turns out, no, it's just a creepy killer doll.
Well, he did go to the Island of the Dolls or whatever. Those weird photos. That's right. It was magical.
Island.
Yeah. God, well, Ricky's a weird guy.
Nightmare.
He's a weird guy. But I think it's, as we've speculated, I think Jack's gonna get killed. And for all we know, they filmed all this in one weekend anyway, so...
Yeah. Well, I mean, props to Lucha Underground for at least having a cool story. I'll miss Jack. I loved him a lot. I thought he was a great fit to Worldwide Underground. I really liked everything that Worldwide Underground was doing.
Yep. He's gonna be dead.
First they brought in that weird agent, now they're bringing in this weird doll. I
hope they killed the agent, too.
I was hoping they were gonna say that Ricky did kill that agent. I'd rather that agent still be dead could than be. Potentially in helicopter.
I know. South African String Bean. Loved him.
He was awesome.
He's great. I thought he was poised for a big singles feud, too.
I think if he didn't get injured as much.
Yeah. One the time thing. Anyway, that takes us to the main event of the evening. My guy, Pentagon Dark, the Lucha Underground champion, taking on the Machine, the man they call Cage.
One of my guys.
Yeah, one of your guys. One of my many guys. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We love Cage. We love Pentagon. This was a short but fun, brutal match. I really liked Cage when he tied the mask to the railing.
Was really
Never
cool.
seen that before.
Never seen. Well, I think that's just because Pentagon's mask kind of helps, you know, lend itself to something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird, like, hood mask kind of thing. I was thinking, I was like, boy, you gotta untie that, because otherwise you're forced to take your mask off if you try to escape.
Yeah, well, at least he has
really
makeup
sucks.
On there.
Yeah, I know, but does he have makeup on the upper half of his
face? I think if I ever was in a situation... If you do a spot like that, I would do full makeup. I'd shave my head, too. Just go, like, full skull.
First
how
off,
sick would that be?
All this is real. So.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
But how sick would that be? He takes it off and just kind of like...
He's just a complete... He's Skeletor.
He's like Scorpion. Be sick.
I feel like Scorpion would be a part of Mio Mortis' tribe. Well, I guess Pentagon would be a part of that tribe, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
Yeah. So that was a cool spot. I think, again, this was brief, but hard-hitting match.
Yeah.
Pentagon Dark picked up the win, I think, as we both expected, like we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been... I mean, I like Cage, but I just didn't feel like this was really the right time for him to get the title. It would have disrupted the flow, and I don't know what purpose we're really been served, besides just kind of throwing us off as far as our expectations, which they do sometimes.
Huge win for Pentagon, though.
Oh, totally.
Because Cage is one of the top-tier guys in Lucha Underground, and it feels reminiscent. They're trying to be reminiscent of, like, Prince Puma's title reign,
where
you know?
He's going up against all the heavy hitters.
Yeah,
basically.
Fighting champion kind
That's
of deal.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. And it was a great payoff for the, again, great promo from Pentagon last week to set up the match.
That was ideal.
Yeah.
I could not think of anything better than that. Just what a perfect presentation. And then, like you said, as far as this match, it was brief, but it was brutal.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the fighting style of both of these guys. Jeremiah Crane fits right in with that kind of fight,
yep,
too.
Absolutely. Pentagon got a little greedy post-match. Now, to be fair, Cage started. He tried to get him with the discus clothesline, and Pentagon got him with the belt.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, Cage was the one that was a little greedy. Maybe Cage should have just left. You lost the match, dude.
Pentagon
it is.
Tried to break his arm, though, and...
Well, I almost feel like that's more important to Pentagon. You know what I mean?
It is. Well, it's his thing. He's the breaker of bones.
And he said, I told you, I was going to... Well, there are no bones. Some sort of titanium alloy.
He's the breaker of alloy. Yeah. Well, he couldn't do it. I do think it would be cool that if Pentagon broke the arm and you were talking about sort of like a cybernetic kind of thing.
Yeah, it would be like nanotech inside the arm just repairs it right there in real
time.
Yeah,
exactly. That's that.
They could have it bend a weird way and then he just snaps back and choke slams him with it.
You could add like sound effects and post and stuff like that. That
awesome.
Would be cool.
I just want them to really confirm that Cage is a machine.
I want the feds to break him.
They really do have to do some sort of government storyline.
I know Cage is down. Like, he would like that. He fancies himself a Wolverine. Like, that's his avatar.
He's a Weapon X.
Yeah, he's totally. A huge comic book guy like we are, and he really loves Wolverine. That's why one of his big moves is called the Drill Claw and stuff like that.
That
and
is cool.
And his shirts, he's the Swolverine and stuff like that. So, yeah, have like, the Weapon X people break in and, like, take... Oh, could you imagine the vignettes of, like, him being created?
It would be so many cool things to do. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, Wolverine, isn't that Pentagon Dark's nightmare? Can't break that arm.
Yeah, he's perfect.
Yeah. And even before the...
He'd still try, though.
Before the experiment break in, then it just heals.
Still try. Oh, yeah. That's perfect. But, yeah, so Pentagon Dark is still champion. However, Cage left standing tall.
And like Cage said, I told you couldn't break my arm.
Yeah, I thought he was going to rip the belt in half again.
I didn't know what he was going to do. For a second, I was like, is he just going to leave with the belt?
And that would have been cool, too.
No, I've got your belt.
I'm champion now.
Yeah, I hold the belt.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
And then... With you know, it's pretty loose and free as far as how they run things in the temple. You know, Antonio's like, oh, well, he's got the belt. We got to do another match about this. Pentagon, you're the challenger because he's holding the belt.
Son of a bitch.
Pentagon's like, what?
It doesn't work that. Who made you champion? I did. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and then Antonio could say, I didn't book this match, Pentagon. Yeah, I told you
actually,
that he needed to earn it.
That would be good, too, yeah. If it's like, well, you made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. Get your belt back. That in a ladder match. Something like that, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, because just disputed claims, belt doesn't really belong to anybody anymore. That would be great.
Yeah, but I don't know where they're going next with Pentagon, but I do know that we're going to get Gift of the Gods match next week.
Yeah.
I don't think the feud with Pentagon and Cage is over.
Absolutely not. Not with the way that ended.
So it's going to...
Because they both screwed each other over.
Exactly. Going to be some interesting times in the temple.
Also, like, Pentagon... I mean, I don't want to sound vulgar, but he's got to bust that nut. You know, it's like, and there's an arm in his clutches, and he doesn't break it.
He's got some broken blue balls there, so you got to take care of that. But that is going to do it for us this week here at the Lucha Lowdown. From San Diego, he's Jeff Budd. I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.